Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are at the most efficient way to get the show. You're just entering Warman Kickfighting Show into the iTunes search engine, and the show pops right up. So, unfortunately, I've got to start with, we won't call it bad news, but just disappointing news, but news that we kind of saw coming. But I really want to dedicate this in a positive way, positive spin, as Dave Walsh steps away from doing the liverkick.com website. It is by far the biggest news in kickboxing to happen this, you know, for me this year. First of all, I really want to start on a positive note. When I got into this sport, when I got into kickboxing, I fell in love with it. It probably happened around 2000, 2001 for me. And when the sport first came around, kickboxing existed on the fight forums. Like, that's where it was. So the big ones for me were Kakatugi. That was Kakatugi Info. That was a big one because it had a lot of very educated followers. It had a tight-knit group. Wasn't a huge group, but a tight-knit group. And we had K1 Fans, which was a huge group. K1 Fans probably had, you know, 30,000 some, you know, followers or users. And finally, we had K1 USA. And I can remember the people that were on those fight forums, and I can remember them, you know, on a regular basis. Some of them were young. I remember this one kid named Lennox. He was real big into boxing, and him and his brother grew into bigger sizes in that one period of time. He just kind of started liking boxing more, but he was really big into kickboxing early. But he was on the forum at like 14 years old, and I remember him getting older and, you know, moving on to whatever teenagers and young adults do. But we all thought that the health of kickboxing existed in the fight forums. If the fight forums were healthy, if there was a lot of talk in the fight forums, then kickboxing was healthy. So as we started to head towards what would be the down periods, and that's when I first kind of came about doing the kickboxing documentary, as we started heading in that direction, you know, the idea and the website of Liverkick had emerged. And again, Dave, I believe there's a full write-up on it that he does, and just it's just great stuff. But he just talks about what got him into it, how he's around other, you know, writers like Snowden, and how he brought up the idea, and how he had good writers come and go for him, like Ryan Scalia, who was, you know, one period of time the guy in kickboxing. You know, like he consumed more content than anybody, and now Ryan's real focused on boxing. And he talked about, you know, his relationship with Jonsi and how Jonsi was really helpful as far as getting stories out and connections. So Dave really started to run this website and push this sport that he loved, because really we're a niche sport, and we're more niche than all the combat sports. I'd say we are. I don't think we're an acquired taste, because if you sit down and you watch a high level kickboxing card, you will leave the card satisfied. No one watched the K1 Max card and left like, man, that wasn't any good. Everybody that watched the K1 Max brand thought that they were watching the best kickboxers on the planet, the most fast-paced kickboxing action. I think that when we, as a sport, like kickboxing as a sport, when it came around, I think that was the focus. I think that we had so many people who wanted to praise and be about these fights. And that's when we had, you know, they're all illegal now, but they had SendSpace and they had Mega Upload. And at the time, that's how we shared content with one another. And the forums are where it all lived. But the forums were your best way to get news, because you had someone in the world that was there to do it. But once the forum started to not do as well and people lost interest, and most importantly, when Twitter and Facebook came around, the way to consume content and share content changed. So you no longer had to go to the fight forums. And I think because of that, people started to think kickboxing's dead, kickboxing's going away, not to mention the K1 World Grand Prix. K1 wasn't no longer the biggest brand. They're making a big-time comeback. But all these things happened. And then enter liverkick.com. And when Liverkick came around, I was grateful. I've had the wonderful opportunity to write a couple articles for them throughout the years. But when they came around, what they really meant was you had a place where you could go to get the news that you were trying to get from fight forums. There was a place where all the content was in one place. And Liverkick was the king of that. Now, there are other websites, and you know, I don't want to discredit others that have come and gone throughout the years. There have been magazines, you know, that have come and gone throughout the years. But, man, I really, really want to praise Dave for what he did and the timing that he did it, because he made something for kickboxing when we needed it. So, for example, I've told you guys before, the reason why I have this kickboxing podcast is simply because when I fell in love with the sport and podcasts started to get big, I started to realize, man, I'm listening to 3 or 4 MMA MMA podcasts. And there was one period of time where I was listening to the Jordan Breen show because one of his guests, Brandon from New Jersey, would ask a kickboxing question. And maybe one other person would ask a kickboxing question. So even though I enjoyed the show, I was really listening to that show more than others because Jordan watched kickboxing. So if he consumed something kickboxing-wise or somebody asked him what he thought of it, they would bring it up on his show. And that was my way to get a little bit of kickboxing in my podcast. You know, that was my only way. And then one day, 2008, 2009, it started going through my head, well, maybe I should make the podcast that I want to listen to. And here I am, 10 years later, still doing this thing. When Dave came around, I felt like it was that sort of thing. Someone who loved the sport, wanted to have a place where people could go get news and updates and just another way for people to get content that showed kickboxing or made much of kickboxing. And so when Liver Kick came around, I was so grateful for being able to go there for results, being able to go there for interviews. When Ryan was there, he's big on getting interviews. Being able to go there for just what's going on in the kickboxing world. The rankings came later. Like now that they did the kickboxing rankings, all that was really, really important. Because really, I mean, people don't believe this, but if I were to tell you what's going on as far as people on Twitter and people on Facebook, I feel like people are consuming and watching more kickboxing now than they ever had before. But because the areas that you went to watch kickboxing were so few, it meant we all met in the same place, and that's why everybody felt it was big. They did a great job of filling, half of a stadium were for Rico's fight in Holland. And that means that despite the K-1, they thought that K-1 was the only thing that would be able to allow them to do a big show in Holland. And, Rico, being the biggest kickboxing star, he came along and he shows that, and then Nicky Holtzman, of course, very important in that movement as well, and the crowd behind Badr Hari. But you see what's happening when kickboxing does big shows in Europe still. They still do big shows. They're still doing well. They're still producing stars, and you'll hear about it in the Glory Breakdown. And one of the key catalysts to making this happen was having Dave do, his website, do his playbook, do his Twitter. And his Twitter, you'll see us all, all his kickboxing heads, we'll get together and you'll see us do the play-by-play breakdown of what's going on in kickboxing. And Dave, with liverkick.com, I felt like he dedicated so much to this, and he is such a big part of people finding out of what kickboxing is in the last 2-3 years. I think that sometimes people will see it on TV and they'll go looking for questions. They'll want to know more. And I think he's the source that you'd send them to. So here we are. And I remember I saw this coming when he first said that he was having twins, because he and I used to talk and he used to be on the podcast, and I'd love it when he'd be able to come by and we'd be able to talk and break stuff down and just really, really get in depth with some of the bigger kickboxing cards or the year in kickboxing. He's been on my podcast for that a couple of times. He's just a joy. One of my favorite people in the sport. But when he had the two kids and I would ask him about getting on the podcast, he would jokingly say to me, jokingly but serious, he'd say, man, it's rough right now. One of them's crying and the other one's asleep. And as soon as I got the one crying, the other one woke up and went to the bathroom himself. And then I went and cleaned him up. And as soon as I got him clean, then the other one woke up. So he's just talking about the struggles of being a new dad. Now, those boys are a little bit bigger now, but as they get more independent, they're going to start moving around the house and doing things on their own. So his eye for watching them has got to be that much higher. And, he still does his writing, but at the same time, he and his wife are just like every other American. There are two people working to make this thing happen and bring about kids. And as a Christian man, it's much more important that he takes care of and raises his kids than that he produces kickboxing content, even though we love him for kickboxing. So I wanted to spend the first 10 minutes on this podcast and just say thank you to Dave Walsh and all the great things that he's done in kickboxing. Thank you for the connections. Thank you for, people don't know that he was a ghostwriter, if you will, for, Mauro Ranallo and some of the other people in the kickboxing world who are doing their play-by-play. He'll send them a little, hey, this is a little bit of information on this guy that you can say on the kickboxing on your broadcast. And it's just so cool that he was so dedicated to the sport that he would do that. I want my sport seen highly, so I'm going to give you a little bit more information about this person so that you could say it on the broadcast. I remember when he got into management for a little while. I remember when he was so excited as he watched the Glory kickboxing card over in Russia years ago. And you know, he had you know, friends on the card. And I just remember the back and forth there, and just a guy who loved it. And again, a guy who's been in there before. He had some kickboxing fights back in the day. So it's just, it is important to have people like Dave Walsh around the kickboxing community. He will always be my friend in the sport. I'm going to keep bugging him to come on my podcast here and there. Now he doesn't have a website to run. And do everything in my power to make sure that we know Dave Walsh is still around kickboxing and still loves it. Still follow him. Like he says, he hates the vowels. The vowels. DVWLSH. So on Twitter. And we'll follow him and we'll keep him informed. And I'm sure he'll still be watching the shows and still be posting. But he just isn't able to keep up with the website. So thank you, Dave Walsh. You are one of my favorite people that I ever met kickboxing. You're my friend for life. And I'm excited for you and the things that you have coming in future. As for me, I will talk about it a little bit later, but I have some plans for how I could help to fill that void that we lost with Walsh leaving liverkick.com, but I'll bring them up a little bit later. What you guys are all here for is you are here for kickboxing. You want to know what's happening with the best kickboxing in the world. I got a lot of results to break down. We're going to get into it. Some of you guys, I just posted this on my Facebook wall as well because I really want a lot of people to see Dave, but I'm going to get right into the kickboxing action. So if you listening to this podcast for the first time, and I hope you enjoy the show, and I hope it gives you a little bit more in-depth breakdown of what happens in the kickboxing world. First and foremost, disclaimer, before I go into this kickboxing card, I work for Glory Kickboxing. I help them with their U.S. Talent as far as I play a role in bringing in new prospects and matchmaking and I play a role in helping these things come about. And I've been doing it for over a year now. So whenever I talk about kickboxing, I'm really going to focus more on the action. I'll have some narrative, but for the most part, I'm going to talk about more of the action that happens in the ring so that I don't disrespect either party. So let's go ahead and go to France. Went down this past weekend. Cedric Doumbé fights Jimmy Vannoy. He wins the unanimous decision 30-24 on one card, 29-25 on the other four cards. So first of all, of course, you guys know this is supposed to be a title fight with Gregorian, and something happened where Gregorian was not able to compete, and Jimmy was able to move from his super fight, the single fight, and move into the main event and, you know, compete to the best of his ability against a guy who he didn't prepare for. Shout out to Jimmy for doing it. He's had two of the toughest outings in his Glory run. You know, it's just to go from Nabaev and then to Cedric Doumbé, you're talking two top two, top three guys in the world in your Glory debut. It just shows the high level of those guys at the top. But Jimmy's game, he's very, very talented. Plus, he did this after preparing for another fighter all of camp. So, goes out there. Jimmy plays his game, plays his clean strikes, works from the distance. He gets good with his low kicks. He's got a good counter. He plays from the distance. Cedric Doumbé playing his new game. You know, the old school Cedric, I would say 2 years ago, the guy who beat Nicky Holtzkin, was just so savvy, so quick, a combination of low kick guy from both stances. I think when he was in there with Jimmy, and you've seen it in the last few fights, part of him has started to believe, what happens when I start throwing heavy? Just start throwing hard. And I think he gets in spots where he starts swinging. And he didn't do that before. Before, I thought that he just played the game, stayed clean. Now, of course, there are some people, you know, that there always is. Some people are a fan of it. Some people are not. They don't like that he plays the back and forth. They don't like that he's that combo kick guy. Or they don't like that he's a guy looking for the big stoppages. But I will say it has added some excitement to him. And I think it's helped him to win fights that would otherwise go in the other direction. He truly believes that I got to start putting these guys on their butt now. And he was able to do it, scored a couple shots. He had some wide, scored with some hooks, both with the one knockdown with the left and with the right hand during the fight. If I remember correctly, there was a knockdown in the first and a knockdown in the third. The knockdown in the third was after a really big barrage. I think the left hook got Jimmy and Jimmy goes down. But when Jimmy got up, every single time you could see, eyes were clear, and he went right back to work. A little bit of, I don't know if we want to use the word gamesmanship, but they played with some of the Thai techniques, even though it was a Glory kickboxing match. Jimmy had a really smooth body lock sweep takedown. He was able to get it with his right knee as he got the body high, and he got a sweep on Dombe. Dombe caught the leg and did a sweep underneath the leg in the second round, and I think Jimmy got another sweep later in the fight. Jimmy was penalized one penalty in the third because of some of the techniques that he was doing. And then after the fight was over with, he asked for a rematch in full rules Muay Thai. Down the road, who knows if that's something that could happen. But in the current picture, Cedric Doumbé holds his spot as the next guy to fight for the title, or one of the next guys to fight for the title. He just made he sent a message out to Gregorian because the fight didn't happen. But he's the guy sitting at the top waiting to fight whoever. So good stuff by Cedric. And Jimmy, still a world-class fighter. He'll get back in there, and he'll be very competitive in his next outing, as usual. Next fight I'm going to talk about is Denegbi Abenya, as he gets a victory over Stefane Spasperuge. Stefane is a good fighter. He's a solid fighter. This is his second Glory run. His first Glory run was unsuccessful. He had some stoppage losses, wasn't able to get into his game. He's got a tricky style, there's no clean combination of low kick flow, no clean boxing flow. He just finds the right moment to throw his offense at certain periods of time. Abenya is a little bit different. First of all, youth movement. We're talking about a 20-year-old, and a 20-year-old who's coming off of a pretty good year. He's got a victory over Andre Stoica. He's got another one over Tavares, an extra round victory. He's coming in hot, and the Sierranese fighter out of Mike's gym. Good boxing. He's got a good hook low kick. Really does. When he plays with it and he lets it go, it's really good. But he also likes to throw his punches down the middle and then around the outside of the gloves in flurries that helps him to slide his knees in. If you duck your head at all, he's going to step into a knee. He is a very, very talented young fighter to look forward to. And again, 29-28, 30-27 on the dissenting card, but 29-28 four times. Stefani, good fighter. Had moments. Tricky offense. Able to find his stuff. But man, Denegbi Abenya is a guy who you really want to watch. And because he's so young, you get to watch him for a very, very long period of time. So we'll go ahead and keep moving and talk about some of the other fights in the card. Yushi Bagare gets a TKO victory over Yasin Agan. And it was good because, we always forget Yushi, such a awesome fighter. I mean, he's a violent dude. And in this one, he had an exchange, and he slid a knee in right during the exchange, and it hit Agan in the perfect spot. Yushi gets the stoppage early in the first round, minute 22 seconds of the first round. Very tall, knows how to use his length, knows how to use his long shots for power, knows how to sneak his knees in there. The dude can fight. He is a talented guy. So, sorry about that. Just a ding from my phone. This new thing where my phone links up to my computer. It's weird. But really good stuff. And I am excited to see what's happening with Yusri moving forward. Anytime he's fighting, he's good. As for Yasin, he's a tough guy. But sometimes you just run into a night that's not your night, and he ran into a shot that just kept him from getting into his offense. So I'm sure he wants to perform better, perform longer, but just the right kind of shot, and that was it for his night. Back to the gym, back at it the next time. Sophia Olofsson gets a victory over Cindy Silvestri, and that's 30-27 on all cards. When Sophia's going, you see the left leg flying. She's got a really good, tricky switch kick. It's tricky because she can shoot it up without a switch, so she can lean and fire her left leg right in there, or she can switch her legs and get a little more power on it. And the thing that she showed in the Van Soos fight is if she's down, if she needs to, even if they're not the most powerful shots, she'll just start throwing punches. And in this one, I think the rhythm of it played more towards her style. And Cindy's tough, and she had some moments, but it's tough because it's so hard to keep Sophia off you. The argument can be made that Sophia is the best full rules Muay Thai fighter in the world. Like, she's got some good wins. Mon Barlow, for example. She's got some really good wins when she can use her powerful clinch, and she blows the IFMAs away when she gets to compete. Not even close. When she goes down to IFMA, she wins all three of her fights quite one-sidedly. But to see her have success and glory, to see her get her hands raised, she's very talented. She's very talented. So I'm excited about who she is, what she can do, and man, it's going to be a fun event, and I'm excited to see what happens moving forward with her career. Excuse me, anytime she fights, it's a fun event, and I'm excited to see what happens with her moving forward. Abdullah Azbiri gets a KO victory over Victor Pinto. Again, very early into the fight, the spinning back heel kick lands in the body, perfect shot in the liver. Victor goes down, and the decision is... It's one of those things, and he talked about it really well. Pinto says, hey, you know, my mind said yes, but my liver said no. He's a game fighter. He's a good fighter. He's been in some really good fights. He uses his boxing well in spots. I think that he can be one of the, you know, top 10 guys in glory for some time. He was going to win some, lose some, maybe have the opportunity to fight for the title one day if he can just get some consistency. But as far as talent goes, you know, he's a full rules Thai guy. Picking up the kickboxing style, you know, superstar in Thailand, very popular. He's got a whole bunch of Instagram followers because he's in a relationship with another glory fighter at that. Zaza Sorry. He's a talented guy. But Azbiri at one period of time was on such a run. Before he lost to, you know, now champion Pech Panmarung, he had this great run where he was, you know, had victory over, I'd say, some of the better fighters in the world. And I just think that this victory reminds people of how talented he is. Because really, that fight and that head kick knockout, it shows how you can come back. He loses by head kick, comes back, wins by spinning back kick. You just stay at it. You stay in the gym. You stay fighting. You stay, you know, with your combo game and your kick game and your flash offense. And you just believe in yourself so much that losses don't back you down. And Azbiri really responded well, considering he got stopped by head kick the last time we saw him in glory. So good stuff by Abdullah Azbiri, and I'm excited to see more of him down the road. Very nice debut for Felipe Micheletti as he gets a victory over Zendine Hammer Lane. It should be noted, and I know I have got it down as an injury, Hammer Lane did not look good the entire fight. What I mean by that is I wondered if he was sick. I wondered if he was a little bit off. Now, he's got a slow pace in general. Like, he's got a pace where he finds his offense at the right time, finds those power shots. He's not a guy who just goes guns blazing. But Felipe Micheletti closed the distance through big, strong boxing. He's got the look. He's got the physique. I've seen him fight several times down in Brazil. He whipped single kicks here and there, plays with the boxing really strong. At the end of the round, he really got some power combos going, and Lane did not have an answer for it. And when he got to the stool, I couldn't see what the injury was. It just seemed like Lane wasn't there this time. So hopefully, you know, get healthy, get back to the gym. We'll see what happens in the next outing. I've seen him perform better. Micheletti, I've also seen him perform better. And good glory start for his career. He gets the victory, and it just shows the health of a division that we are you know, working on growing. 209 or light heavyweight. We got Danagi Abania getting a victory that I mentioned earlier before, and now we've got Micheletti getting a victory here. So got to keep that weight class booming. Next, heavyweight division brings Bruno Chavez against Mamadou Lamine Sané, and Chavez has got the nickname, you know, Muhammad Ali, and he plays out there. He doesn't have the fast twitch motion that you'll get from Ali, but he does have the casual, I'll just drop my shoulder and get right out of the way. I'll just step over here and get right out of the way. He's moving at a pace where he's just so confident that this little step here and this little step there will just make him absolutely clear from getting hit. And it looked that way, because Sané had trouble trying to find him. Sané would do things to, first he'd throw a kick and put his punch flurries behind it. So the kick locates where Chavez is, and he puts the punches once he finds his location. The only problem with it was, as he waited and moved himself closer, Chavez has got a really good counter right. He could shoot it straight. He could shoot it off your jab. If you paw with your jab, he'll shoot over the top. If you fire your jab, he'll shoot over the top. If you fall for a feint, he'll shoot over the top. He just has a really good feel for finding his right hand. I thought that when he let his low kick go, it looked good. And I thought that he had a good series, a couple good series where he threw his knees, because he is all every bit of 6'6". He's a good-sized guy. So good stuff for Bruno Chavez. Sané had some moments where he got close and threw some power. He also had some moments where he looked frustrated. He threw a clear headbutt in the first round, like just clear, like, you know, Victor Ortiz, Mayweather clear, very, very clear. But hopefully calms himself down, gets back to the gym. He's still got a, you know, good strong shots, just got to find his moment. And I just think that he rushed some of his opportunities. So Chavez gets the victory, and of course we will see more of him in the heavyweight division down the road, 26 years old. Matej Penaz gets a victory over Mehdi Bonan, and I thought that Mehdi showed me some of the best fighter heart that you can imagine, because Penaz, very tall for 155, just landed everything. Like, just, you know, his straight shots. The first knockdown he did was off of a straight shot with his lead hand, his right hand. But from that softball stance, he had a lot of good, you know, boxing flurries, good step knees, was able to find his range consistently throughout. And, you know, Mehdi had so many opportunities to not fight anymore. He took a cut and, he took a shot to the nose. Looked like his nose was broken, bad shape. He could have stopped there, fought through it. Took some knockdowns. He could have stopped, fought through it. He fought until the doctor pretty much said, you can't do this thing anymore. But just the heart that it showed when you are losing like that, but everything in your mind is, just let me get back in there. It's the fighter heart that makes me love the sport. So really good stuff by him, and I hope to see more from him down the road. Next fight I'm going to talk about, Dmitry Meshchikov gets a victory over Samuel Dilley. And let me tell you something. Samuel looked absolutely wonderful in this fight. He came out landing clean combinations, combination of low kick flow. He threw good, straight, you know, stiff shots down the middle, threw in flurries. Everything was going right. Meshchikov, who took this fight on 5 days' notice, just looked like he was, you know, waiting. He took some bad low kicks from Samuel. He just couldn't get into his flow. And then finally, Dmitry walks him down, gets him on the ropes, gets him in the corner, lets his hand go, and bang. He lands a big shot. Samuel Dilley goes down. Samuel gets back up, tries to battle on. Meshchikov throws another flurry, drops him again. And then the final bell, he is got maybe 15 seconds to get the KO. And I'm thinking Samuel's backing up with his legs. I'm thinking he's going to get out of the round, get back on the stool, try to regroup. Meshchikov was just too much. Closed the distance. And then Meshchikov does a really good job of using the peel with the left hand and putting the hook behind. Once that shot scored, you saw Mehdi move in a very, very awkward motion and fall forward. That was just awesome stuff. So Samuel did great stuff. So when he rewatches this fight, he's going to see that my kickboxing skill, even though I come from Muay Thai, my kickboxing skill, it's good enough for me to compete in a level in glory. I am good enough to do it. But I did take the right kind of shot from a guy who was just game the whole time. Meshchikov, he took it on 5 days' notice. He can be a better kickboxer. I'm sure he knows it. But in this fight, he had to make it simple. He threw some short chopping low kicks, and he waited to get his guy on the ropes in the corner so he can let those offensive flurries go, and he was able to get the stoppage victory in the at the very end of the first round. So good stuff by Meshchikov. Two more fights to finish with. Michelle Palandre gets a victory over Mohamed Samah. Same thing. Palandre looks so great in the beginning. Everything's landing. His combination flow, very, very good. His kicks, good. Mohamed Samah, very good. He took the low kicks. He had a good combination low kick game himself. Good boxing. This was high-level, back-and-forth kickboxing. It was really, really good stuff. Really, really entertaining stuff. But, unfortunately, the right kind of shot scores, and it changes everything. And Palandre was able to land a stiff shot, I believe, with his lead hand that put, with his hook hand, put Samoa down the first time. And then Samoa got up, tried to battle back. Palandre put him down again right towards the end of the first. Saved by the bell, gets Samoa out of there, gets out of the round. They come back round two. Palandre is just on fire, landing everything, throwing everything all over him. Big combo flows. And then finally, after a good flurry, Samah, always fighting back, he threw a right hand and he injured himself after the right hand was thrown. Just scored it in the right kind of way. He reached and grabbed his shoulder. Unfortunately, and it was accidental, Palandre was already into his offensive flow and he threw a punch and a kick that kind of hit in the, you know, Samah in the head as he was going down. But Samah was injured and was not able to continue. Big time victory for Palandre. I just want to see more of this guy, man. He could fight. Really showed me some good stuff, good combination flow. Dong Fairtex gets a victory over Victor Bordeaux. And my thing with Fairtex and Dong Fairtex, he is one of the more exciting ties that I'm happy to have in Glory. I've seen him fight several times. He's got a game where he can play that simple offense. He can play with the power kick and he can play with the lead hand hooks. But he can also get mean. And I thought he did a good job getting the victory here. Bordaj, it's not that he's, you know, not talented. He just ran into a better fighter on this particular day. Tong Fairtex, good stuff. Hopefully, I want to see more from you down the road. It's my first kind of rundown of you, so I really want to see more from you. A couple other results on the undercard. Medicata gets a victory over Mustafa Yassar by TKO. Derek Abele gets a victory over Hafid Ramdani. TKO punches, and that was in the third. Said Armada gets a victory over Jeffrey Vives, split decision. And then Johan Mermol gets a victory over Frank Rizikov. So that is the rest of that Glory card. It's just good stuff, as always, from Glory. And my favorite thing is this really showcased what could be the future of kickboxing. It really had some fights where you're like, all right, man, who will we pay attention to down the road? It had the answer to that. So really good stuff. We are going to go to Kunlun and talk about some of the results as their big tournament continues. Zayas Zouev gets a victory over Vlad Tuanov by majority decision. Tuanov, as I mentioned before, he's a talented guy, but I thought that he was a good prospect, but not something like a, you know, Gago Drago when he first emerged on the scene. He was good, but not that kind of eye-popping, what a talent. Just really, really good. Zayas Zouev is it's just a consistent guy who's won in China a lot. He's very talented. He gets a decision here. I mean, as he moves on, he is talented enough to win this or at least get to the finals. But good stuff by him, and I'm curious to see where this goes. Fang Jingli gets a upset victory over Johnny Risco. It's not that I don't think Jingli was not talented. Like, this is an out-of-the-question victory. But Risco had been on fire. You know, he had some wins that, you know, got the Bukau win. Every time I'm thinking to go against him, he keeps getting his hands raised. So good stuff by him. But Jingli gets the victory here, showing the strength and the movement of Chinese fighters that are just getting better all the time. Very, very good victory for him. He moves on in the tournament. Zavik Kiria gets a KO victory over Norden Ben Mo. I'm going to go ahead and say that I was wrong about Zavik Kiria. Completely wrong. I think that he was a good kickboxer, but once things started to go against him on the scorecards, he would just start doing his jump flip kick and start playing with flash, and his focus wouldn't be on winning the rounds as much. I just thought that he became your everyday fighter after a little bit. But then I see something like this, and he gets a stoppage victory over Ben Mo, who's been, I mean, he's been stopped, but he's been stopped by, like, elite guys, you know, like someone, the, you know, Muhammad Dry or something like that. But he is a really, really good fighter. So to see Kiria continue his role of getting big victories from Anatoly Moiseev to Norden Ben Mo, he's really having a year. So good stuff for David Kiria. He moves on in the tournament. Marat Tatu gets a victory over Anatoly Moiseev, and let me go ahead and say I was wrong again. The moment I saw that Moiseev was back in this tournament, I was like, all right, back to your combinations and your kicks with your, you know, your flash here and there. But really, you're going to get back to your consistent work. You're going to get this victory for sure and move on in the tournament. Moiseev gets another opportunity because Superbond is injured, if I remember correctly. And Marat Tatu just able to just score clean offense consistently, or Anatoly Moiseev just never got into the flow that I've seen him get into before. Once upon a time, he beat Jonsi. And in that fight, he showed good kickboxing back and forth with one of the better, more skilled kickboxers in the world. And he just did a little bit more to get a victory in a close fight. Here, especially in his last two outings, taking a knockdown and just not being able to get his footing like he had. He's still young, so he can get it back. He's still very talented, so it's just sometimes it's just about putting it together. And remember, I come from the K1 World Max Grand Prix era, K1 World Grand Prix era. Sometimes people have those off years, and the next year they're, you know, champion of the world. So it just didn't go his way. So hopefully Moiseev can get back in the gym, get some fights, and then return to the top. Zhu Batong gets a victory over Li Xiyan, TKO stoppage. Zhu Batong is a guy who is, and this is the tournament reserve, he's a solid fighter. Nothing that I, like, jump out of the gym about, you know. He doesn't, you know, he's not like Li Kuangjing. You know, he's not like, you know, some of the better guys, but I think he's a solid fighter. Good victory for him. And then Wang Bado, also in the reserve, gets a victory over Gili Yassi by decision. Wang solid, Zhu solid. Not guys who I would consider the elite of China, but guys who I think are really good fighters who we expect to see more for. So that is Kunlun definitely doing good stuff in China and moving forward. I'm going to go ahead and keep rolling all over the world with these kickboxing results. We're going to go to Belgium for the next one as we get Yusuf Bahanam, and he gets a victory over Kongjak Popor, a decision. And this was WBC Phoenix and ISK title was on the line. Yusuf Bahanam has been really doing his thing at 160 around. He's a talented guy. I'm always excited to see him compete. I want to see him try kickboxing down the road. But in the beginning, I'm just happy that he is continuing to fight some of the better guys at the weight class at 160. Now, again, 160 in full rules Muay Thai in Thailand, not as hot as other weight classes. It really isn't. But I like that he's been consistent and that he's been working and that he's keeping himself in consistent fights. Yusin, his brother, also got a victory over Jer Jandal, WBC, ISK, and Phoenix title on the line there, too. The last result I'll give you is Alka Matewa, who flirted with MMA for a little bit, but he's always been a good stand-up fighter. He gets a victory over Jonathan Lacott by KO. There were other fights in the card, but those are the main three that I really want you guys to pay attention to. Anytime Yusuf fights, I'm going to promote him and put him out there because being one of the few, you know, Forangs to win a major title in Thailand is a big deal. 20 stadium title is a big deal. But he moves forward, and we'll definitely see, you know, more of him down the road. I think I'll save that. I'll go ahead and put Yakao on the next show. I watched it, but I want to give you guys a more in-depth breakdown, so I'll bring that one up a little bit later. I will go ahead and get you Night of Champions. And Night of Champions, FFC is doing cards here in America, and they're trying to get things going, and they use some names that you've heard from Glory. I'll go ahead and just talk about it. Just had a couple kickboxing fights. Shudran Vaseli gets a victory over Francis Ambang. He got a knockout, and that was, and they called it for the welterweight title. Fourth round, 123 into it. Vaseli is very talented. And Ambang is good too when he gets into his power game, but anybody that can play consistent diversity with their offense can usually get Francis. So if you guys play combination and kick back and forth, I think Ambang eventually will, you know, be able to build in his offense and get confidence. But if you switch it up even a little bit and you box a little bit stronger or you play a high kick instead of low kick, sometimes Francis is thrown off and he can't get into the rhythm of what he wants to do. And Mang's at his best when he can bully. And if he can walk you down and get in a combination low kick flow, he'll be fine. But if you play different types of games, he usually runs into a struggle. Also, if you've got strong boxing, he can run to a struggle. Vaseli offered that and he was able to get the victory. Mladen Brastovic gets a victory over Jonathan Denise. Knockout head kick. It's what he does. First of all, these guys put on a great fight. This is how I got the footage on this fight. A guy who I worked with when I worked at Team Takedown, his name's Adrian Ramirez. He and I both still work with and corner Abdul Razak Al-San, and I've worked, you know, because that's one of my fighters for UFC, and I still know and I've been around Adrian for a really long time. He gets invited to this just through friend of a friend, and he gets invited to this event. So as he's at the event, he just falls in love with this fight and starts recording it. And then he sends it to me while he's sitting there. He's like, hey, man, I just watched this fight. These guys are killing each other. Both of these guys are glory level. And at that time, I couldn't make him out, but I was like, man, that looks like Mladen Vesevic, but that's in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? What card is he fighting on? I didn't know about this card. I had missed it when I was going through my notes. So then I saw that Mladen Vesevic was fighting Jonathan Denise in Vegas. And in my mind, I was like, well, that makes sense. Two ex-Glory guys, they would put on a great fight. They would stay in front of each other. And they played the game back and forth until, as you can imagine, Mladen Vesevic landed the Mladen Vesevic. His head kick is brutal. And he's gotten so many guys with it. The guy is just legit. He just keeps working, just keeps doing good stuff. So I'm always excited to see him compete. I'm always excited to see him, you know, go to war and do good things. But I'm happy that he's still making paycheck. We're going to go to Japan, and we're going to talk about the Knockout 2008, Knockout 2018 crossover results. That was on October 7th. Issei Ishii gets a stoppage victory over Nakayama, TKO. It's an injury. It's a little bit disappointing because flyweight, of course, that's a hot division in Japan right now. You want to stay healthy and keep fighting because, you know, there's some big-name fights, Takeru and another gentleman who I'll be mentioning a little bit later. But big time win for Ishii. Kazuki Osaki gets a victory over Yoshihino Tane, TKO stoppage. This one's legit. He moves on, and actually that is part of a tournament. I don't know when the final is. I do not think the final was on this card, but that's part of the tournament, the flyweight tournament they got going on. Kazuki gets a victory there. Now, for those of you who don't know, this isn't kickboxing for Knockout. They play full rules Muay Thai. They just have a kind of big kickboxing feel to it and how the presentation's done. But good stuff by Osaki. Yodlai Pet gets a victory over Yusuke Aokawi. That was for the lightweight, and it's in the Asia tournament opening round. I'm not quite sure on that. I'll have to do more research, so please forgive. And then Yusuke Morai gets a victory over Kiyosane Flyskick Gym. That was a stoppage and a extra round, which went to round 6. So after 5, it wasn't decided. They went to a 6th round. That's something that you've seen before in, you know, promotions like, S-Cup used to do that back in the world. Or shootboxing used to do that. So Hirokui Mishada gets a victory over Taisen and Moguchi. And then Yusuke Mizuchi gets a victory over Katsuki Kitano. I was not able to see those last 3 fights, but I wanted to mention those as results. And I keep rolling. We got results. I keep going. I am going to take us now to... Let's go to Madrid. Okay, we're going to go to the Infusion card that went down in Madrid. Some names that you guys recognize, some names will be a little bit newer. Diego Calada, mentioned him on the show before. He gets a victory over Nayanesh Aymen, 72.5 kg tournament. The beginning of that tournament was Diego Calada gets a victory over Aydin Ruiz, and Nayanesh Aymen got a victory over Jahan Jakat. Both those were by decision. And then the final was Diego Calado over Ayman, as I mentioned before. Diego Calado is very talented. It's kind of about building on this success, because this is the kind of thing where he'll get a win here and then he'll get a loss that makes you forget about him, or he'll take a fight that doesn't help you to move into a position where you're like, I really want to pay attention to this guy more. He's got to build on this success in this tournament by fighting someone that we know. At 72.5 kgs, he's got some good options in Infusion. So good stuff there. Lizzie Lagalaire gets a victory over Laura Fernandez. This is at 52 for the women's title. I'll be paying attention to Lizzie. I've seen her fight before. This was a good win. I did not get to see this fight. This is a good win. I want to know what's happening and what they're going to do with her next. Do you want to try to do something like Amon Barlow or something like that? Find a way to make that happen. But good victory for her. Christopher Apazas gets a victory over Sifian Bazirok. I was not able to get that fight. And Christian Spektu and Antonio Orden both got victories. Orden got a victory by stoppage in the 4th, and Spektu got a victory by decision. So solid stuff from Spain, but the main takeaway is watching Calada. Like, I really want to know what happens to him down the road, because he is very, very talented. I missed a glory tournament. I missed a glory card. I didn't talk about it. So I will go ahead and go down it in a fast way. I don't want you guys to be waiting on me forever. But, you know, I missed getting this card out because for the last 2 weeks I've been so busy. I had six fights scheduled over three fight cards this past weekend as a coach. I was able to work two of them, and one of the guys, his fight didn't go through. But I just didn't have the time to put into the show like I normally do, and that made me go, okay, let me step away and not do something. Now that I'm back, I'll go ahead and get you the action that you deserve. Rico Verheerven gets a victory over Guto Innocente in a sold-out house. They did half the arena, but they really, really did it really good at Johan Cruyff Arena. It was great to see that crowd full. Great to see them passionate about kickboxing. Rico goes out there and does the Rico combinations and kicks. Guto Innocente, the skill that Guto has is he can suck you into his fight game. He can make you fight in a way where you feel, man, I need to do this to stay into the fight. You know, I need to fight this way. Or all of a sudden, I'm going slow and I'm watching him. And Guto just sucks you into his pace. And then he'll do like a spinning hook kick or something like that. And the next thing you know, you've lost the fight. He sucked you into fighting in his way. He was able to do one more flash shot than you were able to do. And he gets the victory. Rico just stayed Rico. He's the best heavyweight on the planet. Stays with his kickboxing and his low kick game. You know, jab low kick, hook low kick, 1-2-3 low kick, cross the back leg. Like, he just plays it so smooth. Rico proved once again and still. So they've got an 8-man tournament coming up. The winner of that tournament will probably fight Rico. I'm always excited to see Verheerven fight. He's the man. Pech Panarung, Kit Moon Kao gets a victory over Robin Van Roosmalen. The other fight was debated. This one, not as much. Robin mentioned that the weight cut is now caught up to him. You know, he was the champion in glory at 70 kgs. He cut down to 65 kgs, and he just said that it just kept him from getting into his offense this time. Not just that, but battling injuries, and, you know, just he had his run, and he's going to return to 70 kgs. Very, very powerful guy, very good fighter who's been doing it at a high level for a very long time. Pech Panarung is just his night. When he gets his game going, the left leg is cracking, and he's playing with his boxing, and he's playing with his movement, and he's an excellent fighter. And he's on form. He is the man. And it'll be tough for anyone to beat him. He's on quite a tear. He'll be considered for Fight of the Year for me. Just doing some awesome stuff. Clear victory here. KO victories, you know, his last three. A head kick, you know, in his last two. I'm just all about Pech Panarung. He's the man. Jamal Ben Sadiq did the Jamal Ben Sadiq. Him and D'Angelo Marshall are moving at a weird pace, and then Sadiq lands the crack. He's able to score three knockdowns on Marshall in the first round. It's just everything's going well, and then Sadiq just lands the right kind of power shot, and you're in trouble. And D'Angelo Marshall did everything in his power to try to get back into the fight, but just it wasn't there, and that's what happens when you get hit by somebody big. Marshall's still young enough to get his kickboxing going. He's a huge guy, so he'll still be out here doing at a high level. Ben Sadiq, you know how he is. He'll always float around the top 10 because he's got an old school type of power to him. And what I mean by that is Sadiq, his skill set can go in any era of heavyweight kickboxing because he can crack. So if you were to put him around the era that had, you know, LeBanner and Bernardo, if you put him in the 90s, I still think there'd be some guys that he'd touch up that he could crack. He's not going to win rounds in all those eras, but he'll be able to put some people on their butt in all those eras. So good stuff for Ben Sadiq. Dejani Bastadi really put on a good performance with Christian Baia. Round one, Christian Baia looked amazing. Combinations and kicks, good step-up knees. Everything that he was doing looked great for Christian Baia. And then Dejani Bastadi started to turn it on, started to do some good stuff, started to turn his game around. And all of a sudden, you see this... The movement and the boxing and finding his kicks and not receiving return damage. When Bastadi gets it going, he is all of a top five fighter in the world, and the guy's still 21 years old. He is so good, you know. I might even be 20, but he is so good, and he is growing all the time, and he's beating elite guys on a consistent basis. He lost the title shot, sure, but man, was he gaming that opportunity, and he's willing to get in there and go against anybody. Good stuff there. Mirtha Gruthart versus Muhammad Jiraiya. I wonder what this fight would have looked like had Jiraiya not taken the slip knockdown early. because I didn't think that the first knockdown was from damage. I just think that right shot, balance, ref positioning, I thought that he was fine before it. But the moment he got away from playing, you know, with the low kicks and playing scoring shots while looking for power, the moment he became all power shots, that's what Mirthal needed. And Mirthal was able to find his explosive offense and spots. He scored a knockdown again early in the first, gets the KO stoppage in the second after getting Jiraiya in trouble. Grunhardt wins. It's a big step up for Jiraiya. You know, it's a big step up to go against Grunhardt, who's been one of the elite guys in the top division for a long time. I am all about seeing him fight more. I am all about seeing Jiraiya getting rounds. I look at his body build, and I do always wonder, we'll always say, what will it look like when he fights at 70 kgs? I do want to see him there, because I felt he was special there. He threw combinations and kicks. But he's still a violent dude, and he's still very talented, and he can still bring a good fight at 77 kgs. Mirthal Grunhardt, big-time victory here. Had the crowd behind him. He's an excited fighter. Anytime Grunhardt fights, you're usually going to get your money's worth. Alim Nabiyev gets a victory over Ivan Denenberg. It just shows the savviness of Nabiyev, because he's able to score his boxing and his movement. Denenberg had some good moments, and he did get one of the scorecards because he's long and he can play his combinations long and get his kicks. But just it's the movement and the way that Nabiyev can score in a flurry and then turn the corner to keep return offense from getting to him. And that's what makes Nabiyev so special. He's able to get the victory here. Stays at the top of the division. Any move is best for him. Any move that they decide is good for Nabiyev. Just keep him working, because this guy is a really fun fighter to watch. Michael Duke and Murad Buzidi. I think Duke and Buzidi were in a good back and forth. You can make the argument for either guy as far as their kickboxing flow. But then Duke landed a shot. Landed a shot as Buzidi was pursuing him. Landed it right behind the ear. Buzidi goes out as he falls into the corner. Michael Duke gets a KO victory with 2 minutes and 56 seconds left in the round. 2:56 pass, so 4 seconds left in the round. Dude's going to be Duke. He has all right kickboxing. When he lets it go, he can do it pretty good. But most of the time, he goes out there, mentally psychs himself up for a battle, and gets the KO if it comes. And if you outpoint him, then you outpoint him. But the main thing he's looking for is to get you out of there. And it didn't go as planned for most of the fight until it did. And that's what happens when you can crack. Michael Duke gets the victory. Raul Menart gets his victory over Daniel Svor in his glory debut. He scored a knockdown in the fight. It's crazy to see Raul Menart fight because, you know, his dad was, you know, a coach for so long. And he had this K-1 run where he won the title. And then I guess their contract ended. He is no longer with K-1. He is with Glory. Good to see him go out there and do some good stuff, get some kickboxing, get the knockdown. I want to see more from this guy. Good to see our heavyweight division, light heavyweight. It's good to see bodies around that weight class start to pop up a little bit more. Alexei Ilyanov gets a victory over Zakharia Zoghori, 29-27 and 3 on several cards, and then 30-26. Ilyanov was able to score a knockdown. Zoghori is awesome when he gets it going. When he gets his combination and low kick game going, he's awesome. You know, he really, really is a talent. But Alexei was just able to play strong with him, able to bite down the mouthpiece and throw big power shots in moments, got some of the rounds. Zoghori was able to get one round on three of the judges' scorecards with his kickboxing flow, but Ilyanov is just too much, just too much. Stoyan Kapovetsky gets a victory over Neil Cabri. Cabri, smaller guy for the weight class, it's tough to see. I apologize, there's a little glitch in there. I don't know how noticeable it was, but let me get back into the action that I was talking about. So Stoyan Kapovlensky, Anil Cabri is a talented guy, but sometimes I feel like he's undersized for some of the bigger guys like Stoyan Kapovlensky. Just the kickboxing was on point. The movement was on point. He did a lot of really, really good stuff. Stoyan staying at the top of the division. There's a lot of fun fights out there for him still. He's expected him to be in the conversation for quite some time. Donovan Weiss gets a victory over Kevin Van Heckeren. This is just a testament of just being a tough, strong guy and not giving up. Because Donovan Weiss, early in the fight, he scores a knockdown real early. And you think, okay, after he gets that, knocks him down, I think it was a right hand. After that scores, you're like, all right, Kevin's in trouble. and he really put it on Heckerman for the rest of the first round, and he just didn't go away. And then in round two, you see him fight back a little bit more. Vice is still winning the rounds, but he's fighting back a little bit more. And then round three, he's fighting back even more. And again, he does all this despite the fact that he clearly lost in the judges' cards. But he treated it like a fighter. He didn't mail it in. He was like, I'm going to get something out of these rounds, and maybe I can find my moment later. And he went the distance, really put in a good performance. You can't be nothing but proud of a guy who fights back like that. Really, really good stuff. Miles Simpson gets a KO victory with punches over Kevin Hessling. Just got it going early. Scored a knockdown, was able to get him out of there. Hessling's a talented guy. But Miles Simpson, who bouncing back from his loss to, in a very close fight, but his loss to Dreyer earlier this year, he's all action. And he brings it. And sometimes his power is in question, but I thought he did a good job here. And gets the victory. And the last fight is Robbie Hageman gets a victory over Ibrahim Kala. He scored two knockdowns in the fight. Hageman's a guy I've been waiting to see in glory for quite some time. So hopefully we continue to use him and build on him because he really is a talented fighter. So I enjoyed the kickboxing that has been going on in the combat sports world, you know, this past while. But of course, there's also some unfortunate that comes with the fortunate, you know, like there is some stuff, you know. I was gonna end the show on I was gonna end the show on Nasukawa, of course, because he's, you know, he is an all-action, wonderful fighter that it's not just that he's good, but people want to see him. They want to know what's going on with Nasukawa. There's something different about this guy. And his fame's starting to go over all combat sports. And people want to see him in both MMA and kickboxing. And then he gets himself in a big super fight. And it's like, you see the lure. You see why people so care about this young up-and-coming fighter as he continues to do some stuff. But unfortunately, I'm going to go ahead, before I finish that, and start with something kind of on the bad end of sports. Like, just, it's just bad because you never want to see it. So I'll go ahead and go into the narrative of kind of what happened here. So a fight took place this past weekend, and the fighter he fought in glory before, Qinghao Meng, he is going to get a fight over Pascal Scarth. And in this fight, he does a sansao throw, and he drops him on his neck. He drops Pascal right on his neck. And it, like, literally his head does a weird bounce, and you see his neck break. And literally Meng is disqualified, but Pascal is in a hospital bed. And you got to take care of people out there. And I know every once in a while you'll see it in kickboxing rules. Somebody will play with a Thai technique, like a sweep. Or somebody will play with a kickboxing technique. It's just, you'll see it every once in a while. With a sweep or a judo technique. And they'll always say, illegal, illegal, don't do that, don't do that. But man, I can't stress you enough. I cannot stress you enough how scary this was to watch a guy get dropped on his head and watch his neck, you know, snap like that. And then for him to be done with his career while the other guy plays with a technique like that. We got to take care of each other in combat sports. We really, really got to be careful because that kind of stuff, we don't want that to be the image of our game. We really don't. And I know that wasn't the intention of Meng. So don't read into me in terms of that, you know, like, it's not what I want you guys to think, that I'm jumping on Meng, you know, because of this offense and only because of this offense. But I do want you to know, man, it's scary when you see something like that. And when you jump outside of the rules and you think it's just okay, it's not okay all the time. I will go ahead and go back to the fight I was talking about. Tenshin Nasukawa gets victory over Kyoji Hiroguchi. And it was a war. It was good back and forth. Nasukawa was the better guy, able to land cleaner shots. But it just goes to show, we got a young guy, 19, 20 years old. He goes against Hiroguchi, who is in MMA, fought for the world title once in UFC. He is so, so talented. And he showed that he's got the grit and the ability to hang with one of the better kickboxers in the country. It was fun stuff. Really fun stuff. Thanks, fellas. And, of course, anytime you think about the MMA kickboxing crossover, I mentioned in this podcast before, I talked about Masato and Kid Yamamoto. I talked about what that was. And Masato was actually in a couple of those fights against MMA guys. But it was really cool to see these two go at it. And I will end the show on that note. Tenshi Nasukawa and his very, very, it's on YouTube, you guys can find it, his very fun war with Kyoji Hiroguchi. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. Again, shout out to Dave Walsh and all the stuff he's done in kickboxing. God bless everybody and have a good weekend. Peace.